Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. My hope is to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Although it's still technically summer, many of you are already back in your offices gearing up for the new school year, and perhaps you're organizing professional development sessions, meeting with leadership teams, or even finalizing schedules and staffing decisions. So today we are excited to share some valuable back to school tips with one of the members of our professional services team, Sandra Sproul, who's a seasoned educator and has years of experience supporting districts nationwide. And so Sandra brings some insights to help you have a successful year. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm just going to first kick it off because you and I both as former educators probably have a good answer to this question. Let's talk about what our favorite part of back to school season is.
A new planner, number one, right? Just this beautiful blank desk calendar. All things are just clean and new. And so that's my favorite thing, is just starting out with this blank slate, whether it's new supplies, new classroom, new decorations, or a new calendar. It's just everything's fresh.
I agree. I also would say too, there's just an energy of back to school. Yes. I remember the first year that wasn't in the school, and I missed it. I missed that energy. There's just this energy of excitement. And like you said, Yes. It's just new and fresh. And there's just nothing like that, you know, to replace that. And it's almost reminiscent of the days when you were like, when I was a kid, of just that excitement of the possibility of what a new school year held. So I think that those are, yeah, but a new planner. I have no reason to buy a giant planner anymore because I do primarily most of my work online, but I want one.
I know. I look at them. I think the same thing, but you're mentioning energy. I think that is something I was thinking about excited, but it's just that excitement, that energy that the kids are bringing, that the staff's bringing in. And so it is, yeah. Anything, like you said, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Well, and so, you know, I tapped into you to talk a little bit about some insights or even just some back to school tips and encouragement that we have for leaders and educators going into the school year. So what, first, I just want to ask, what do you think should be the key priorities school leaders should focus on during this back to school season to kind of set a tone for a successful year? Like how can they set the tone to set people up for success?
You know, what comes to my mind first when you talk about setting, you know, up your staff for success, I just think about showing everyone value, right? Showing all of your staff value, showing all your students value. And it's, you know, I think about Todd Whitaker, and I listened to him. I saw him in person like 10 years ago, and something he said has stuck with me. It will always be people, not programs. Right. We're going back to school. And I mean, here in Texas, I've been talking to people that are teachers that have whole new curriculums, right? That's super stressful. All kinds of initiatives. I mean, so I think there's always going to be programs, but as a leader, as colleagues, just showing each other value is going to be so important, because the stress is already there. Like we talk about excitement and it's there, but also hand in hand with that is the stress of the new year. So the other thing I was just thinking about is clear expectations, right? For me, if I know what to expect going in, clear is kind. And so I'm going to show you value. I'm going to make expectations clear, and then already have in my mind that I'm not going to sweat the little, like I know what is going to be most important to me and to my staff, and I'm going to kind of be able to prioritize those things.
Yeah. I think being able to walk into the year and going, these are our being clear about the priorities for the school year can help your staff really have perspective about things that they should care about and things that they can say it's not a priority. And not to say that all, some of the stuff isn't important, but knowing what the goals are for the year and really being clear with that and making sure that everything you're doing is aligning to one of those goals.
Yes.
Because sometimes those competing priorities for a school can really push teachers in one way or the other. And some of that is coming up with those goals together. I think having that work, doing that work with your leadership team and then with your teacher leaders, I think is always a really great move at the beginning of the year because it really helps bring everybody on board to what your priorities are.
I agree with that. And to that point of, you know, when I'm working with a school district and talking about setting goals for those students, right? That goal that is, I'm developing a strengthening this area, one area that's going to help with a larger area. So, right, like you were saying, be able to prioritize what's most important to really put our focus on.
Yeah. And I liked what you said also about giving value to your staff, like really understanding that you are working with human beings, you're doing the work of you know, supporting young humans. And so really trying to make sure that it's about people and not just your programs. Cause I think that, I mean, teachers see through that, right? That, you know, when it's, and your priorities should speak to that too, what you value, your priorities and your goals and your tasks all kind of speak to that as well. So kind of, I mean, those are big kind of overarching things, but like, what are some practical strategies that you think leaders should establish that help kind of reduce that burnout, even going into a new school year, and kind of help foster collaboration that you would see in some of those values?
One of the things, you know, I just think about communication, right? What are those times when I'm going to get together in small groups and in large groups with my staff so that we can really communicate with each other? I'm listening to what they have to say. I think keeping that really simple, not making everything so complicated that none of us can keep up with it. So as a leader, and whether I'm a teacher leader or whether I'm the administrative leader, making an impact by keeping it simple enough where we can all follow along. And I think that goes back to what you said, Larissa, about, you know, prioritizing. So what are our prioritizing? What are we prioritizing? And then thinking about, let's make some actionable steps. You know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. So if we have, right, I mean, we just can't flail around wishing things would change on our campus. So I think as a leader, being super intentional in having this verbalized, captured somehow, that we can capture what it is we're working on.
I like what you said about communication. I think something I was just thinking about how, you know, sometimes we make communication seem really complicated. Submit this form with your comments or suggestions, but really communicating to your staff, what's the best way to communicate a concern with me, whether that be through email or office hours, or even just being available. I think one of the things that leaders that I have worked with that I've really valued, and I think that they do a fantastic job, are people who make themselves available, whether that's they're the ones, they're in the hallways, right? They're walking around and talking with their staff during passing periods. They're around talking during lunch, that you see them around the school more than they're in the office sometimes.
Yes.
And I think that availability communicates something not only to the staff, but the students and the community as well. You know, the presence, how that impacts things. And I think that that's really keeping it simple. Like a best way to get a hold of me is stop me in the hall and talk to me, you know, or, you know, send me a quick email. Making it really simple for people to communicate, I think, is really important in that. And I even think too, with that, you talking about the systems of the way that you do things, keeping things simple, of whether it be supervision schedules, even though maybe it's complicated for you to like put together, but make it simple for your staff to understand.
And to just, you know, kind of piggybacking off what you said about being visible from day one, right? Like from that first day of school, that everyone, students and staff see you and that they feel like you are open to their communication, that you're not closed off, even though you and I both know there are a million things that have to get done in their office. And that is so understandable. But the payoff of seeing And talking to people in the hallway just cannot be, you cannot undervalue that. There's just no, I was in the walking down the hall one time and a teacher was walking by and I said, you know, to her, "Hello, Jamie. And how are you?" Or I don't know, whatever I said. And she walked by and then she turned around to me, Larissa, and said, "Thank you for saying my name. Thank you for saying my name." And that has stuck with me. And so even as a leader, we see these teachers going by and we see people going by. The power of saying someone's name, it's their identity. Like that, you know, it's part of who they are. And so I would just encourage any leader, teachers, whoever you are, say people's name when you greet them.
That's such a simple strategy of just acknowledging someone who they are. It starts with their name and their identity in that. I think something else I was thinking about as you were talking, you know, talking about reducing teacher burnout. I mean, that's been a topic for the last, I don't know how many years, but I think it's really, it starts on day one of really establishing that you're there to support them. And so that they have someone or a way to feel supported or ask for support. And that starts with that relationship. And that starts with saying someone's name, right? Even though like one principal, I mean, if you have a staff of 60 to 90 people, it's hard for you to have deep relationships with all of your teachers. But it is important to establish, do they have someone to connect to? Just as you would hope for your students to have an adult to connect to, right? We say that with students, helping students feel like they belong. I think that goes with the teachers too. And that to me is the payoff, is building an environment and culture of collaboration, because people feel connected. They feel like they can actually collaborate and that it's a safe environment to do that.
You know, that made me think of, as you were talking about a large school, Larissa, you know, large high schools, middle schools, elementaries, wherever it is, but we'll end up dividing up the student body, right, among the different admin. And so it made me think of, could do the same thing, right, where you kind of take that staff and go, hey, these are the staff that I need to make sure, you know, this quarter that I focus on being intentional with them. And so the same thing we do with our students, kind of mirroring that with our staff. And so that's something, just talking to you, hearing you talk about how we do that with students, right? We make sure that we kind of divide up and support them doing that with our staff.
Yeah. Well, because I always want to acknowledge that doing the work of a classroom teacher can be heavy work, right? Whether you're an elementary teacher and you've got a classroom of 20, 25 students, or I mean, high school and middle school teachers that have 150 or more students, I think it can be really heavy work. And so it's important to know, is there a system of support for your adults as well as they're doing the work, that they have, you know, as much as maybe you as a teacher wants to take care of everything, like they've got to have a team. We're as strong as our teams are. And so, I mean, that's so much what MTSS is really about, is it's a system of support. And so it's not about one person of support. And so it's important to acknowledge that, like, how do we work together? How do we build that for not only the students, but the staff as well? And that creates really lasting, I think, just more impactful work when your teachers together. Because I know I've had years where the team of teachers I worked with was really strong and really connected. And it felt like we made more of an impact on our students because we were talking and we were communicating and we're like, "You're having trouble with him today. You can send him over to me. We'll, you know, he can work in here for a little while," you know, like those things that we would do for our students because we felt more connection it just made the work feel so much lighter and not, right. You don't feel so much alone.
I was thinking something you said even before we started taping this, talked about taking your ego out, right? So as a leader, you know, taking my ego out so that it's a safe place where it is okay if you're having a problem with a student, right? That this is me supporting you. And I think it goes back to, we have that multi-tiered system of support within our staff, right? You know, we're supporting their social emotional wellness. We're supporting them in pushing those students toward academics. We're supporting our staff in their support of student behavior. So there's those two levels of that, and being engaged in that vertically, horizontally, however that is, that's going to reduce that stress, and that's going to be a healthier staff, a more productive staff, and the winners are going to be kids. And that's what we want them to win.
Yeah, exactly. No one wins when there's egos involved, I think. Okay, so kind of in all of, I mean, I think we could talk definitely about how to support teachers, but some of that has to do with professional development. And, you know, I think I want to talk about that a little bit, about how we can ensure that back to school PD sessions are meaningful and aligned with your long-term goals, like MTSS implementation. Because we know, you and I probably both have sat through, and anyone listening to this has probably sat through a professional development that said, you could have just sent me an email, or what, this was a waste of my time. I have things to do in my classroom, right? And so I want to acknowledge that that's the pressure that leaders are facing when they're having these back to school professional development sessions or just in service. And some of it is like stuff you have to cover, like those blood-borne pathogens, right? Like, you know, there's stuff you have to do in compliance, but how do you think, what are some ways that we can make that meaningful?
You know, thinking about that, you're right. I mean, just sitting through things that could have been done in an email, it takes me back to keeping it simple and having a focus of a goal you're working on. So if we are developing an area of support on our campus to strengthen our overall support of students, what is that? And make that our focus for professional development, where we go deep into something and get really good at it, instead of throwing a lot of things, throwing a lot of things out. Let's go a little narrower and deeper in what we're doing and create something. I know that's a challenge for me in professional development, balance, that cognitive load balance, like being aware of that. Is my content and are my activities lined up, right? And so I know that takes time, whether you need to bring someone in or, you know, pay someone a little extra, but make sure that whatever you're delivering to staff, they can walk away with something actionable from it and that they're engaged in their own learning. Nobody, no principal needs to talk at their staff, because that's just not how students learn. That's not best practice. And so, you know, thinking about, let's chunk that learning, let's make it engaging and meaningful. And let's give some, you know, one of my things is let's hear what teachers need. You know, that may be at the end of the year, or you send something out during the summer, but what are their challenges, right? What are the areas that they want to have support in, so it's relevant to them?
Yeah.
It takes time, and it takes work to develop content.
Well, and I, as an instructional coach, I spent a lot of time developing teacher professional development. And one of the things that I always try to do was like send a survey at the end of the school year, like you said, in the middle of summer. And it usually brought to surface certain areas that was like, oh, the staff needs some more time learning about our LMS. Or the staff would like more time around behavior support. And so it really helped kind of identify those areas that gave that then as we planned, we, you know, and it wasn't something we planned. Everyone in the school needs the whole session. But sometimes we would plan out a schedule and let them pick a session that they wanted to go to based on their needs, because we needed to differentiate for the different needs within our staff and provide them. And then it really helped the engagement, because it meant that they were not sitting through a session that didn't apply to them. And so we really tried to develop a way for everyone to have the information that they actually needed to be successful for the school year. Of course, there were things as a staff that we would do altogether if something was new, things like that. But, you know, you only have a certain amount of time at the beginning of the school year. So I liked what you said about chunking the information, because if it is a new initiative, you just don't want to dump a binder in front of them and say, here's all the stuff you need to know. Really be thoughtful about how can you divide this up between your professional development days throughout the year, or how can you divide up the space, oh, this would be great asynchronous learning. You know, if they watch this video and then they come to a session, like thinking through just the how you deliver the information can be really helpful to make it meaningful rather than, like you said, overloading them cognitively when they're receiving training after training at the beginning of the year. Like, I don't know about you, but I always was so exhausted because there was so much information to especially new teachers. I think new teachers get the raw end of the deal.
Well, and I was thinking when you said that we've got our veteran teachers whose needs are different from our new teachers. So that differentiation, that choice learning is going to be huge. It reminded me kind of to what you were saying. The school I was at, we used CHAMPS and I love CHAMPS and it was part of who I was. But someone would come in and if I just gave them all the CHAMPS cards, like here are the CHAMPS cards and here are the CHAMPS posters and here's the CHAMPS PowerPoint, unless I explicitly instruct you in that and allow you to engage with that, then you'll probably never become an expert or it won't become part of who you are. And so really being intentional in that professional development is huge because when we're thinking about why students aren't being successful, I go back to instruction, curriculum, environment, learner last. We've got to look at, have we had enough instruction? Is our curriculum, like, have we had enough professional development where it's not our instruction, it's not our curriculum? So there's so many pieces of that that are going to impact students that professional development has got to be a priority and it needs to be meaningful and, like you said, relevant to the staff.
Yeah. Well, again, professional development, again, could be your whole podcast, but these are just some snippets of kind of, as we were talking about these back to school things or things that we encounter. One of the things I think would be, is kind of important in all of this, we talked about a little bit, but teacher feedback. And so what do you, like kind of going into this school year, what advice or what strategies or could school leaders use to provide impactful feedback to that builds trust and supports teacher growth? And it kind of goes both ways. Like what ways could they hear the teacher feedback and then what ways could they give teacher feedback?
Thinking about teacher feedback, student feedback, just feedback in general, we know that Hattie's Visible Learning says that gives you it has a lot of impact to give feedback. So that has to be super intentional. When I think about feedback, one of my mentors that really has had an impact on me, when she was giving feedback, she usually had three things. And that has just stuck with me. Like if she as a leader was going to talk to me about what I was doing in my work, then there would be three areas that she would talk about. And so I think really being intentional in as a leader, knowing before I go and talk to you, Larissa, that these are three areas, right? Of three positive areas, and then maybe three areas for growth. But having kind of that already set so that as a leader, you don't ever want to just beat somebody down. I mean, some people have room for more growth than others, but I would definitely say set aside that time and really have what you're going to say and why you're going to say it prepared. Don't come into talking with a teacher or a staff member unprepared. And then, you know, whether that feedback is a climate survey on your campus where it can be anonymous, that has a big impact. Like you want to know, you want people, your staff to feel safe and being honest about what's happening on your campus. But I know even in our work, Larissa, we have one-on-ones. And I have loved that. So even that idea of, hey, we're going to have a one-on-one where I've got a few agenda items to talk to you about. Now, what do you want to talk about? Again, being available. It goes back to what you said, being available and visible, but also having time that is set aside to talk with staff.
Yeah. I think providing avenues for feedback, that means open the avenue for teachers to give feedback. and as well a place for, like you talked about, like a one-on-one, that's a place for that feedback. And it becomes part of the culture, right? Because if it's not, it's that email you get at 11 o'clock that says, come see me in the office after school. And you're in a tizzy all day because your principal wants to talk to you. So it's one of those things where if it becomes a so normal a part of the culture that this is just what we do, then, I mean, it really kind of models that continuous improvement. We're always trying to improve. We're always trying to get better and grow. And if that's modeled with teachers, I believe it can be also, then it trickles down to students. And I think that it's important to build that. And so I think having that perspective going into the school year can really help leaders. You know, we covered a lot of different topics here today, you know, professional development, how to set up your school year, how to set up the right tone. And so hopefully this kind of just piqued some ideas for leaders as they're going into the school year, something to think about. You know, pick one thing from what we talked about.
That's what I was thinking. Pick one thing and go, I'm going to do, you know, have one-on-ones. I'm going to work on professional development. One thing.
Yeah. Because everybody tried to implement everything we talked about. It would be a lot for 1 year. And I mean, I think sometimes too, it's just, I have this goal. And once I accomplish that, I can have another goal, but not trying to overwhelm yourself and be a leader because no one's perfect and everyone's always trying to grow. So hopefully we've given you guys some tips to really think about going into the school year. And we just wish everybody a great year.
Have fun.
Yes, exactly. Have fun. And, because that, if you're having fun, that students will pick that up and staff will pick that up too. So,
yeah. Thanks,
thanks for being here, Sandra. I just really appreciate your insight and, I love working with you. So. Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.